Am I on? Oh, that sounds like I'm on. Okay, I'm going to try and limit myself to sort of a quarter of an hour or 20 minutes because of where we're at. But I still feel as though I've got something to say in the Lord today. You know, I just, whenever I speak, I always want to encourage you. And if I discourage you, that's sort of, I apologize. And the other thing I want to say, you know, when I speak, I get claustrophobic in my own head sometimes, and sometimes think, I never want us to be in a holy huddle. I just want to speak to encourage you in your journey, to facilitate where you're up to in God, so that you individually and y'all, as we're saying these days, aren't we? And as y'all can go about your business in God, so that the kingdom of God can be done on earth. So, and what I want to say today is something that we're already doing, but I just want to encourage us to do it more, to maybe elevate this couple of principles, really, that I want to speak about. You know, I don't want to elevate you. Do you know, if you're in Christ, how high do you want to get? It doesn't get any higher, does it? But I really just want to elevate a couple of principles in a quarter of an hour. That's what I'm going to do now. You laugh. Okay, ready? Well, maybe by 1:30. I just want to speak about a couple of things that impress me. I'm not easily impressed. I don't get impressed. Well, maybe I do, actually. Maybe I'm impressed by flowers. And Nikki says I go over the top. We went to see Celine Dion when she first was started out. And I was with 18,000 people, but it was just me and her singing, singing The Power of Love. Honestly, and she, I'm sure we connected. And I was impressed. I was impressed. But, you know, sometimes in today's culture, it seems to me you can get on the honours list if you collect so many Kellogg's packets or vouchers in the Daily Mail. And I don't want to be disrespectful for those people who've been honoured or be cynical. But you can get on the honours list fairly easy if you cut someone's hair these days. And I'm not impressed. And our heroes today, culturally, our heroes just seem to be overpaid celebrities. And forgive me, but I just don't do celebrity. I just don't do it at all. I think there's a woman called Shania Twain said it really well. So you're Brad Pitt. That don't impress me much. Oh. So I don't get impressed easy. And so you are rocket scientist. So you are Brad Pitt. That doesn't impress me much. And I just want us to focus on a couple of things that impress me. And I want to encourage you to be about your business in God. Not just you individually, but you as a church, us as a church, y'all, as we're part of that. On the 6th of May, 1954, something happened that was deemed impossible. You can shout out if you think you know what it is. On the 6th of May, 1954, something that was deemed impossible happened. Pardon? No. Shall I give you a clue? It happened in 3 minutes, 59 seconds, 0.4. Thank you. In the 6th of May, 1954, a guy called Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. And you know, today, I think the world record is something like 3:47, something like that. And it's so blasé. And I was thinking about this message months. I forgot the Olympics were on this year, to be honest with you, with football and different things. But that was a feat that was accomplished in 1954. And I'm impressed. I'm impressed with this guy who ran a mile in 3 minutes and 59 and a half seconds. I'm impressed. Let me just read 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. I don't need to turn to it. It says this: Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. And you know, there's a whole sermon in that, isn't there? That we haven't got time for, maybe another day. But the commitment of this guy. You know, God has been speaking to us, whether we struggled to hear Adrienne when she sang out that worshipful prophecy. God wants to envision us today. God wants to set something before us, a prize, or prizes even, or as Kirsty read out, that stack of blessing is there. And Roger Bannister had a vision, and all the world, the whole world, all the world, everyone in the world said it will never happen. Is circumstance saying anything to you today? Is any situation speaking to you today? That's impossible. And everybody's saying, it'll never happen. It's never happened before. Quarter of an hour. Don't let me digress. But isn't that exciting? I find that exciting. I find Roger Bannister's example has left an impression on my soul that this guy put the commitment in, put the dedication in, put the care in, put the exercise in. He practiced, he saw it in his soul before he ever saw it on the headlines of the Daily Mail. He saw something and he put all the effort that was required to do it. Now, I'm not into works, I'm into faith. But faith without works is dead, isn't it? The diet, what he imbibed and what he refused. There's such a lot that we could say about just that man's example of going for it and making the impossible happen. Oh dear. You know, we are oaks of righteousness and we stand tall, and that's a good example. But not much happens by osmosis, except osmosis. It happens for trees that they just stand still and suck up a bit of nutrients in the sun and they bear fruit. And that's a good example in another sense. But we are runners in a race to win, not in competition with each other, but maybe in competition with the world, the flesh and the devil, to go out for what God's got for us and take that prize, to win all that stack of daily benefits that he loads us with, to go get it and go after it and not be satisfied with bronze or silver, but to win that prize. I'm a crier. I cry dead easy. You know, the Olympics makes me cry. Just those people getting there and I engage with their joy. And you know, I just know God engages with us when we go for it and we win. Hallelujah. So Roger Bannister, if you've never heard of him, he broke the 4-minute mile. Has anybody ever heard of a guy called Chris Brasher or a guy called Chris Chataway? You're such an ignorant lot. I say it in love. Neither did I till a couple of weeks ago. A guy called Chris Brasher and Chris Chataway, they were there on the 6th of May in 1954. They were in the same race as Roger Bannister, who took the headline. They were his mates. They were his pace setters. They ran with him with one mission and one goal: to facilitate his victory. I'm impressed. That upsets me. That upsets me to a place that I wish they could get headlines. Chris Brasher and Chris Chataway were Roger Bannister's friends, and their sole goal was to protect him from the cold headwind on that May day in 1954. That's fantastic. That just thrills my heart that these two blokes were so humble and so willing to engage with this man, to protect him from the headway, to encourage him along the way. Their sole purpose was for him. It was a vital purpose, and they wanted to facilitate his victory, to break that impossible barrier. I'm impressed. I'm absolutely impressed with them. I wish I could meet them and shake their hands. So I have a couple of questions for you. Do you have any pace setters in your life? Do you have people running with you along this journey? Do you have people who are protecting you from the headwind? Do you have people in your life? And I know we do, and I don't want to elevate you. I want to elevate the principles here that I'm talking about so we can do it more, so we can engage with it more, so that we can lock in to each other more as the days get darker and the glory gets brighter, so we can lock shields with each other so that our goal in life can we can have and know and appreciate and be aware, or maybe have 100 anonymous ones in the background who are on their knees, getting segs on their knees, saying for Gail or Mike or Adrienne, God, make them win their prize. I'm alongside them. I'm running with them. I see the demonic around them. I'm there with my elbows. I'm there at the front. I'm running hard and I'm running fast to facilitate their victory so that they win the prize. Well, there was two guys called Chris Brasher and Chris Chataway. I won't forget them. They were in the race with Roger Bannister and they got no headlines and no glory. And maybe that should be spontaneous. Maybe that should just happen by natural means. And maybe we should ask people. Silence, but it's awkward, isn't it, silence? I love silences. It makes you think, doesn't it? Maybe it should act. It should happen naturally. And it does, doesn't it? Spontaneously, we have our life together. And as God weaves in the tapestry that Tom spoke about last week, we become entangled with each other, don't we? I don't know if that's the right word, but I'll use it. We become sewn into each other's lives, don't we? Naturally, as God just creates this wonderful thing called the body of Christ. And it's lovely, isn't it? It's wonderful when you have to do with each other and we love each other. But maybe we should be proactive. Maybe we should say to each other, listen, I need you to... I think you've got something that might... I think we can maybe... Would you... This is my... And are you with me? Maybe you could run with me. I've got a goal. I've got a vision. I've got something on the inside of me that I can't do it without you. Maybe it should be organic. Maybe we should be a bit more mechanical about it. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. And if there's any... I'm not going to look at anybody now. If there's any pride in your life which is stopping you having pace setters in your life, then we need to deal with that. If there's any fear, hands up those who have not been disappointed in life by other people. Hands up who's not been disappointed by the church. Hands up who's not been disappointed by God, maybe. We've all been disappointed. And I just feel God saying something that He wants us to be such much more of a body running together and having that whole concept and idea in our hearts that we're running together. And the Olympics is... I didn't think about the Olympics, but just those cyclists who come and take the lead now and again. And then there's ones that hold back a little bit and take a bit of a blow. And then when they've got their energy back, they go up at the front. It's such a wonderful story of us sometimes, isn't it? Because we all get tired, don't we? You know what? It's okay to get tired. It's okay to get a little bit down. It's okay to be a little bit off the mark. Is that all right? We all need a saviour. So that's my first question. Do you have a pace setter in your life? Second question, and maybe more relevant question, are you a pace setter for somebody else's life? Are you running with somebody, protecting them from the headwind? Are you running with people in this church and maybe the body at large, protecting them from the headwind? Are you facilitating someone else's victory? Are you given, as Mike talked about, your breath and your last breath to facilitate someone else's victory? I know it's happening in this church. I really do. I don't know how I came across an Air Force blog, and I just started sort of to read it. I was interested in this term, wingman. And in the 1940s, in the Second World War, you know, the every pilot has a wingman. Every lead plane had a wingman. And that wingman was to protect and keep. And there was a phrase that needs teasing out, but I'll just say it a couple of times and see if the Holy Spirit's saying anything to you. Wingman is a term with a long understood criticality of mutual support in combat operations. It stood for the proposition that assertive teamwork was key to mission success. Shall I read that again? I think that's a t-shirt. A wingman, and you and I need wingmen. Just because we've got leaders here, we all need wingmen. Leaders might need wingmen more. I don't know, but I want us to be one on this. I want there to be a level playing field, that we all need pace setters, and we need to be a pace setter in someone's life, and we need wingmen. A term with a long understood criticality of mutual support in combat operations. Hands up who doesn't think we're in a combat. It stood for the proposition that assertive teamwork was key to mission success. Assertive teamwork. I wonder what that means. Are you ready for me to be assertive in your life? Am I ready for you to be assertive? Do you love me enough to be assertive? I'm sorry, listen. If I'm wrong, I'm giving any elder and leader permission to come up and put me right. Seriously, I humble myself and submit to you. But I just feel in that term, when I read that, there was something in it for us as a body. Do I love you? Am I willing to accept your encouragement that might be a bit assertive? No. Is that scary? Is that maybe another level for us as the body? We talk about relationship and we talk about covenant relationship with each other. And I don't know whether I know what that means. Am I willing to give my last breath? Am I willing to not just rub shoulders, but engage with you? This is a journey that I'm on. But I just felt, God, was something in that when I read that block. It stood for the proposition that assertive teamwork was key to mission success. I hope that gets through in the Holy Ghost to you. Let me read something. This is Hebrews. I've had to print it off because I don't have the message. Hebrews 12, 1-3 in the message. It says this. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blaze the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, the shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. I thought that was fab. I just thought that was amazing. Go over that story again. There's only one real wingman, isn't there? There's only one real pace setter, isn't there, in some senses? Do you know, let me say this in closing, and I was 20 minutes. Roger Bannister had those two men setting the pace and encouraging him along the way. But for the last 121 yards, he was on his own. I just feel as though there might be some people here, and we all go through it, when you feel like you're on your own. Is it just me? Billy, no mates. But you know what? It's part of the race. If you're not going through it today, and you've not been through it in the past, you will go through it in the future. There's a part of the race where God gets you on your own. And Roger Bannister, for that last 120 yards, had to dig deep. He had to dig deep. And what kept him going was that finish line. With all the crowd in 1954 giving it what for, giving it the bells of Shannon. He had that finish line. Tom painted a fabulous picture last week of the finish line, of that place in God and besides God. I was just thrilled with it. It's not just an eternal place, it's a now place, isn't it? That place where we're going to get, we're going to be. And when we get there, we might collapse a little. But you know what? I want to encourage you this morning to keep going, to keep running, even if you sometimes feel alone. Because you're not alone. You'll never be alone. Because on the inside, you have a pace setter that will knock socks off me. You have an eternal presence who's cheering you on, who's encouraging you, who's saying to you, you can do it because I called you to do it. It was impossible to the whole planet at that stage. But what are you going to do? You've put years of exercise and practice and stuff into this. Are you going to give up now? Is there a choice, really? Because he went through such a lot of stuff that should have been yours so that you could win the prize, so that you could get that first place. I'm going to stop. Can I pray? Father, thank you for your encouragement, Lord God. Thank you for the ability that we all have on the inside to run and walk with you, to be with you and journey with you, and to run and walk and journey with each other, Father God. Thank you for the ability in the Holy Ghost that we have to be one, many members and yet one. Father, I pray that by your Spirit, Lord God, you cause OCF, this church, individually and me, and together, that we would take on board, Lord God, what you're calling us to run with, Lord God. That, Father God, we would shake off that sin which so easily besets us, that we'd get the right shoes and the right gear on us, Lord God, that we would focus on the right thing, Lord God, that all the distractions and diversions, Lord God, we'd be like flint, Lord God, going for that prize. Father, I thank you that in these days, even now, Lord God, there's something in the Spirit where you want to envision each one of us individually and corporately to go for, Lord God, to set our faces like flint. So, Father, I pray, Lord, as for me and my house, and if we can say amen, we're up for this race, Lord God. We want to run with you. Run to win, Lord God. Run to gain the prize. Father, I pray again, organically, spiritually, you'll give us people on our hearts to run with, to pace set with, to be assertive in our encouragement and support and love, Lord God. So, Father, take us on and be glorified in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.